We serve a God of infinite power. A God who spoke and galaxies obeyed. Who crafted light and set the stars in place. Who effortlessly parted the Red Sea, crushed the walls of Jericho, and called down fire from heaven to declare his glory. Mighty God, everlasting Father, and yet, in all his might, our Father is gentle and intimate, crafting the details of the smallest flower, calling to Moses from a burning bush, feeding the hungry, caring for orphans, and speaking to prophets in a gentle whisper. This is a paradox, an impossibility. At the intersection of total humility and infinite power is the name, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, both lion and lamb, whose voice commanded the raging seas and whose touch healed the hurting, whose wonders brought forth countless miracles, and whose kindness welcomed little children. A King of Kings, worthy of all praise, who entered the city on the back of a humble donkey. His journey didn't lead to a throne of gold, but to the hearts of his people. His triumph was not through force, but through love and sacrifice. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the mystery of God's power and gentleness. He reigns above all, yet chooses to dwell with us. He commands the universe, yet bends down to serve. The good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. His strength is immeasurable. His kindness unshakable. He is Jesus, our humble, powerful King.
I will celebrate, sing God to the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate, sing God to the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I will celebrate, sing out to the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate, sing out to the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is a way, he is a truth, he is the light. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. His name is Jesus, Jesus. He is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. His name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the light. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. His name is Jesus, Jesus. He is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. His name. In the name of the Lord. His name is Jesus, Jesus. His name is Jesus, Jesus. His name is comes in the name of the
Hosanna, I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival.
Do we know what a privilege it is to be here this morning?
Amen.
Do we know how amazing our God is and what He's done for us? I hope so.
I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing to Him a new song.
I will celebrate,
sing unto the Lord. I will sing to Him.
Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You and worship You. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are blessed to call You our Savior, our King. Lord, we are so grateful for all that You have done and continue to do for us. We are so grateful for Your provisions and Your blessings and, Lord, just everything, Father God. Lord, I do pray this morning that You would continue to be exalted and lifted up and glorified, Father, that You would continue to be worshiped this morning, Lord God. Have Your way in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. For several weeks now, we've been talking about this morning and what was going to be happening. Of course, we had our wonderful breakfast. Thank you, by the way, to everybody who helped with that, who made some of the casseroles and put all the food together. It was wonderful, as always. So thank you for your willingness to allow us to borrow your ovens for a short period of time and all of your help. We have, obviously, something different going on this morning, something very special. If you've not ever sat through something like this, I encourage you to make sure you tune in and tune in close. What you're going to see this morning, to me, is nothing short of a miracle. I mean, something that God put into place, something that God designed centuries ago, still applies so beautifully to our lives today. It's absolutely amazing. We have with us a couple of individuals from an organization called Jews for Jesus. All right? They have come all the way from Tel Aviv. That's where they live. Now, before you get too excited, they didn't make the trip just for us. They have a few other people they're ministering to as well. But I tell you what, I've had a few minutes to talk with them this morning before service, and it's amazing just to talk to them and to hear them. We have a couple of individuals that are going to come and share Christ in the Passover with us. Welcome, Root and Nehama.
So shalom to everyone. My name is Ruth, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. If I have a little bit accent, it's because it's my Israeli accent. So I hope you will understand me. But today I'm really excited to share with you a presentation that's called Christ in the Passover. I really hope you enjoy it, and I hope you encourage by it. But most of all, I hope it will deepen your relationship with Jesus. So I will ask you a question. If you went up to a Jewish person in the streets and you asked them, who do you think is the hero of Passover is? What do you think he might say? What do you think? Moses, right? So he might say Moses or Hashem or the Lord, or he may just turn you in shock. But although the answer they may give you be true, are not the whole truth. You see, if you ask a Jew for Jesus the same question, what do you think they will say? Well, if you ask me, I would say Yeshua is the hero of Passover. Many of you probably know that Yeshua is the simple way to say Jesus in Hebrew. But how could Jesus be the hero of Passover? That's crazy. Jesus is not in the Passover. The Passover is Jewish. Well, obviously that Jesus was a Jew, and not only did he celebrate the Passover every year while he dwelled among us on this earth, but I think that he's clearly pictured in the symbol of Passover and in the story of Passover itself. After all, the message of Passover is the promise of redemption. And the story of Passover, it's a story of our liberation from bondage. Today, as I explain this traditional Passover sitting, it's my hope that you will see the picture of the death, the resurrection, and the promised return of our Messiah Jesus. So, the head of the household will guide his family through a traditional Passover Seder. Seder is a Hebrew word meaning order, because the Passover celebration follows a specific order of service. This order recorded here in this book that called Haggadah, which is mean the telling. I do not have Haggadah for everyone, but you should have received a brochure that's looked like this. So everything except it, right? Everything get it? The brochure? Great, okay. So I would like you to follow with me. There is also a blessing and also four questions that we will read. So Passover began with lighting the candles. Now this is usually the duty and the honor of the woman of the house. After she lighting those candles, she recites a traditional Hebrew prayer. I will say it in Hebrew and ask from you to say it with me in English. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'adlik ner shel yom tov. Please say it with me in English. Blessed art thou, our Lord our God, King of the universe, who sacrifices by his commandments and commands us the festival light. I will ask maybe from you if you can come and to kind of the lights. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. So I think it's fitting that women should light those candles, as it reminds us that the Messiah, the light of the world, will not come from the seed of men, but from the seed of woman. Not by the will of men, but by the will of God. As the prophet Isaiah foretold, behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. It's written also there. Which should mean God with us. Light to light to the Gentile and to the glory of her people, Israel. Passover isn't just a meal. It's a banquet. And isn't just a service, it's a ceremony. And while a meal, a service might take 1 or 2 hours, the whole Passover celebration might take 4 hours in total. But don't worry, today we're going to do the Baptist version. So it will be short, okay? So during the Seder, each adult would drink 4 full cups of wine. So be warned, if you're invited to an Orthodox Jewish home to celebrate the Passover, you may well be accepted to drink nearly the whole bottle of wine. So I advise getting a cup rather than driving there yourself. So the first cup is the cup of Kiddush, or the cup of sanctification. Then come the cup of plagues. The third cup is the cup of redemption, which is the focal point of the entire evening. It's the third cup. And this is the cup of Hallel, or the cup of praise. It is with this cup, the cup of sanctification, the host offers a blessing for all the rest of the service to follow. Holding the Kiddush high, and recite this blessing. You can say it with me in English. I will say it first in Hebrew. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, bore pri agafen. Amen. Please say it with me in English. Blessed art thou, our Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth fruit from the vine. Amen. So the service has begun, and the youngest person present come forward to ask the meaning of Passover. They will ask a traditional 4 questions, which recorded in your brochure, and they are chanted, and the first one goes like this. You are ready? Okay. Ma nishtana alayla azeh mikol alelot, mikol alelot, shebechol alelot anu ochlim chametz umatza, alayla azeh, alayla azeh kulo. Matzah, alayla zeh, alayla zeh, kulo matzah. Why this night is different from all other nights? On all other nights we eat leavened or unleavened bread. Why on this night do we eat only unleavened bread? Let me answer the first part of the question. Why this night is different? Those of us who know the story of Passover are obligated to respond. This is because what the Lord did for me when he brought me out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, when he redeemed me with a mighty hand and outstretched arms. Redemption is the very heart of Passover. But Passover imparts more than God's message of redemption. It imparts God's means of redemption through the sacrifice of Passover lamb. My ancestors were instructed to take a spotless lamb, to roast it whole without breaking any of its bones, and to apply the blood to the side and to the top door frame of their home. Partly because of our obedience to God's command, and because of our faith in the effectiveness of his provision, we were spread the ravages of the 10 plagues that befall the land of Egypt. So when the Lord saw the blood on our doors, death was forced to pass over. That's where we get the name, Pesach. In Hebrew, Pesach, the holiday which commemorates the time that death passed over my ancestor's home. Why? Because of the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb. What a mighty act of redemption, but what a picture of even a greater redemption through another Passover lamb, the Messiah Jesus. For just as none of those first bones was broken, so none of Jesus' bones was broken in his death. And as my ancestors had to apply this physical blood of the lamb to the doorposts, now each one of us must apply the spiritual blood of the Messiah Jesus to the doorposts of our hearts. Now, the second part of the question, why on this night do we eat only unleavened bread? Well, my ancestors, in the rush to leave Egypt, had to take the bread with them while it was still flat. One of the items, it's on this table, is this one. That's called matzah tosh. Matzah, it's a bread, and tosh, it's Yiddish for a bag. So it's really a bread bag. Inside the matzah tosh, there are three layers of unleavened bread, if you can see it from here. Each one of them separated by some clothes. The head of the household removed the middle layer from this matzah. He breaks it to two pieces. One half he put aside, and the other half he gave it a special name that called Afikoman. Please try to say it with me. Afikoman. It's not a Hebrew word, by the way. It's a Greek word, and when roughly translated, it means that which comes later. And this is precisely what's happened. The Afikoman isn't eaten for now. It's come for later. For now, it's wrapped with some clothes. It's hidden from our view. No one on the table knows where is it, but later on, the children will have to look for it and trying to find it, or else the service cannot be concluded. So the child asked two more questions. Please read with me. On all other nights, we eat vegetable and herbs of all kinds. Why on this night do we eat only bitter herbs? And all other nights, we are not required to dip the herbs once. Why on this night we dip them twice? Let me explain you by showing you this. Now, this is a Seder plate. Now, it may look a fancy plate for poaching eggs, but it's not. As you can see from here, each compartment holds a symbolic piece of food from the Passover service. And as we go through each one of them, you will see how they are combining to give us a picture of redemption. A redemption picture that was completed when our Messiah Jesus rose from the dead. The first item is the greens. We are usually using parsley or lettuce. These greens represent life. But before we eating them, we dip them twice in salt water, which represent the tears of life. So by dipping them, we're reminded that life without redemption, it's a life that immerses in tears. The next item, it's the chazeret. And this is the root of the bitter. We usually use an onion or horseradish roots, and this is symbol remind us that the roots of life can be bitter, as it was certainly for our ancestor in Egypt. This is the maror, the bitter herbs itself, freshly ground horseradish. Now we are supposed to eat a full teaspoon of horseradish. There is someone that's brave that want to taste it. Do you know what's happening when you eat a full teaspoon of horseradish? You cry. You have a little choice in the matter. This is between the horseradish and your sinuses, and the horseradish always win, believe me. Like the chazeret, the maror brings to our minds that the life was bitter for the Hebrew people while they served under Pharaoh. By the way of contrast, we have the charoset, and this is used the mortar that our ancestor used with the bricks as they built entire cities for Pharaoh. It made up with chopped apple, raisins, honey, nuts, and their taste really delicious. Now you may be wondering why of sweet mixtures used to represent such a bitter toil. I think it's because, our rabbi explained to remind us that even the most bitter labor is sweetened with the promise of redemption. This is not an Easter egg, it's called the Chagigah, which is the name that's given to the special temple sacrifice in Jerusalem. We roast the egg like the sacrifice was roasted, and that turned it to brown. During the Seder, it's peeled and broken up, which is powerfully described the historical fat of the temple. And this egg reminds us of the grief that our people yeah. So this egg, before we eating them, we dip them twice in the salt water, which represent also that we are sharing the grief and the tears with the Jewish people. The last item of the seder plates is this one, is the sheek bone. Passover sometimes known as the Feast of Passover Lamb, but yet in the most Jewish home, lamb is not served. In the 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, and so the altar where the sacrifice was performed. So from that time to this day, no sacrifice has been made, and no lamb is served at Passover. So these zroah, like the egg, are remind us of the sacrifice which are not longer offered. Now the presence of these two elements, the sheek bone and the zroah, are raising an interesting question. With no temple, with no altar, with no sacrifice, how it's possible to atone for our sin? For the law of Moses states it's very clear. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourself on the altar. It is the blood that make atonement for one's life. Well, let me answer the question in a very Jewish way by telling you a story. Nearly 2,000 years ago, lived a Jewish man named Yochanan. His mother was Elisheva, and his father was Zachariah. You might know him better as John the Baptist. This wild man of God came from nowhere and started to baptize Jewish people. Now, what more amazing that he did it not in Jerusalem, but in public in the River Jordan. Huge number of people came to him, but one day his gaze fell upon the form of another Jewish man, his cousin, a man named Yeshua. And John declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He declared an ultimate God plan of redemption, not through the blood of the lambs, but redemption through the Passover lamb, the Messiah Jesus. Now, the child asked the fourth question. Please read with me. "And all other nights we sit upright or reclining. Why on this night do we recline?" Well, our ancestors instructed to eat the first Passover meal with their lost garden, with sandals on the feet and staff in their hands, ready to leave in moments' notice. But today, we relax on pillows. You see, in the Middle Eastern society, only the free could recline on dinner, only the redeemed. Now it's time to the second cup, the cup of plagues. In the Jewish tradition, a full cup represents a completely joy. But in one sense, our joy is not complete. You see, at this point of the service, we will dip our finger into a cup and we let 10 drops fall onto our plates as we recite the 10 plagues that poured out upon the Egyptians. We mourn the loss and express a great sorrow over their destruction. I think there is an important lesson in this cup. Pharaoh defied the will of God. He repeatedly told what God wanted him to do, but he said no. As a result, he brought death and destruction not only upon his land, but into his home. His son died because his hardness of hearts. Yet, how often do we know God's will for our lives, and how often do we say no? And how often do we know God's direction for our lives, and how often do we say no to this direction? I would like us to take just a pause for a moment and considering to committing to a greater level of attentiveness and obedience to God's call. But like I've said, Passover, it's a night of rejoicing. It's a night of thanksgiving. And tonight I can thank God not only because he brought me out of the land of Egypt, not because death passed over my ancestor home, but because I've been redeemed from even a greater bondage through my faith in the Messiah Jesus. Through him, each one of us passed over from death to life. Now, for now, I would like to take a few minutes to share a little bit about myself and about my ministry with Jews for Jesus. So my name is Ruth Barra, I was grew up in Israel. My parents immigrated from Ethiopia to Israel in 2000, and in 2001 I born. So I grew up to a messianic family that believe in Jesus, but most of my whole life I didn't believe in God really. So I will jump a little bit to the time I was in the military service. I don't know if all of you know that it's something that you have to do in Israel. It's not an option to not to do a military service. But in that time, I was completely far away from God. But in that time, I was also getting no Jews for Jesus. So I was starting to be partnership with them, would help them with the homeless people in Tel Aviv. We basically were supplies them a food, clothes, a place that they can only like come and just be there. And after I finished my military service, I decided to go to a discipleship program. One of my friends really convinced me to go with her, and I said yes. It was the best decision in my life that I ever did. And there I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And after I finished this discipleship program, one of my supervisors was suggest me to join as a staff to Jews for Jesus. So I came back to this place. It's called Mekomi. In English, if I translate it, it's mean my place. And this is what we want to give to those people, a place that they can come and just be there, and we show them the love of God and the hope that we are found in the Messiah, Jesus. Most of them are Jewish people, and they are really dealing with a lot of issue, health, drug addiction. We're also serving a woman that involved with prostitution. So we are there in a very dark place where all the drug dealers are doing their stuff, and we want to share the good news to those people. So I would like to share a short story. Maybe it will be encouraged for you to hear it. But one day, like I have a girl that I met her a lot of time in this place, Mekomi, and she was coming every day, and I was sharing with her the gospel and also praying with her. At the first time, she didn't really want to hear about the gospel, but later on, after time, we saw how God has really soft her heart, and we also should suggest her to go to our shelter. So we have two shelters, one for the men and one for the women, and there we help them to find jobs, to recover. We are discipled them. And I suggest her to come to our shelter. And one day she decided to come. So in the beginning, it was really hard for her to stop all the drugs and also the work she used to be working. And we saw how God is really moving in her life. And we read with her the scripture. And after a while, after 1 year and a half, she accepted to Jesus into her life, and she gets baptized, and now she's walking with the Lord. And it was really encouraged for me to see her process and how God is really working in her life. So this is what we are doing in Jews for Jesus. We are really want to pursue God's salvation among the Jewish people around the world. So there are three ways that you can be partners with us. If you can see on your brochure, there is a place that you can tear off like this. And if you fill your name and your email and your address, you can receive our newsletter and also the thing that God is doing in our ministry, stories, testimony, prayer requests. So we would like that you will fill it out. And there is three ways that you can also share the gospel with the Jewish people. First, that you can pray for our ministry, pray for the missionary in Jews for Jesus, pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. We really need it. And also you can support us financially If you feel led to give us, it will help us to continue the work that we are doing in Israel. And the last thing is to visit my Connect table. Me and Nechama will be there, and we like to speak with you. If you have questions toward us, we will happy to answer as much we can. And we also have a few material books. Some are free, some are not so free. So we will happy to be in touch with you. So usually after the dinner, we come to the third cup, which is the focal point of the entire evening. But the service can't proceed because something is missing. Earlier, something was broken, buried, and now it needs to be brought back. Does anyone remember what is this? You get an extra horseradish at the end of the service, so don't miss it. So all the children will search for the Afikoman, but only one will discover where it's been hidden. After that, he's found it, he brings it back to the head of the household, and it's broken again. Each person received a piece of it, about the size of an olive. This olive-sized piece take along with the third cup, with the cup of redemption. Does it look familiar? For this is the origin of our communion. Not only this, where else we can get a clear picture of our Messiah than in this custom, concerning the Afikoman, which is broken, buried, and then brought back. Even the Matzatosh itself, which is sinless of nature, graphically portray the pure and the spotless Messiah. If you will notice, the matzah is pierced like this, and it reminded me the word that was given us through the prophet Zechariah when he said, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. But I can see our Messiah symbolically not only in the Afikoman, but also in the Matzatosh itself. Concerning the three layers of matzah, which the Afikoman is drawn, there is quite a big disagreement among our rabbi about the meaning of this strange pouch, this mystery three in one. In the Jewish community today, there are a lot of competing explanations, but there is another radical explanation which has its rooted in the first century. There are three layers here, and yet they form a unity, a tri-unity. And the Hebrew word which means such a unity is echad. And it brings to my mind that the word of God, who is giving us through Moses, when he declared, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The word used for one in this sentence is echad, a unity. And at the service, the head of the household removed the middle layer from this unity, from this echad. It is made visible while the other two remain hidden from our view. I would like to read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to that which has his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all he did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision, a husband will, but born of God. We Jewish people who know the Messiah know also that the unity of the Matzatosh bears a witness to the unity of one God revealed in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? I think it's because Jesus was broken, buried, and then brought back. This is my body, which is broken for you, and for you, and for you, and for all of us. Do this in remembrance of me. Now let's turn back to the third cup, the cup of redemption. The fruit of the vine at Passover is usually red. Our rabbi explained to remind us of the precious blood of that first Passover lamb was sacrificed to redeem us from bondage and slavery to sin. In the same way, the blood of another Passover lamb, the Messiah Jesus, was redeemed us from bondage and slavery to sin. It is with this cup, the cup of redemption, the cup that taking after dinner, that our Messiah said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This is the very new covenant that promised us through God, through the prophet Jeremiah, when he declared, everyone will die for their own sin, but the day is coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, but because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. For I will forgive their weakness and will remember their sin no more. The broken piece of the afikoman and the cup of redemption are taken together in remembrance of the body and the blood of the Passover lamb. But my Passover lamb is Jesus. We are now coming to the third cup, the cup of Hallel, or the cup of praise. All of you know a Hebrew word, but I'm wondering if all of you know that's a Hebrew. The word Hallelujah, it means praise the Lord. And the first part of the word is Hallel, which is mean Hallelujah, praise. So this is the cup of praise. It's traditional for us to recite Psalms 113 until 118, but today I would like us to read Psalms 117 together. Praise the Lord, all you nation. Exalt him, all your peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Now there is one last cup, which I haven't told you about, and it's this one. Look fancy, right? This is the cup of Elijah. Actually, in the Jewish tradition, we also have a chair left untouched for the prophet Elijah. Why this longing for the prophet Elijah? Well, it's recorded by the prophet Malachi when he said that before the Messiah will come, he will be preceded by the return of Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu Navi. So each year at Passover, Charles go to the door and open the door wide, hoping that Elijah will in turn and accept the invitation and inform about the coming of the Messiah. But as a believer in Jesus, I know that Elijah has returned, Yeshua, Jesus. John the Baptist was the prophet. And we know that Jesus was the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. I hope now you can see Christ in the Passover. He is the real hero in this story and the only means of our redemption from slavery. Thank you.
As I said at the start, if you have not been a part of this or seen something like this in the past, it is amazing how history connects with the present, how much of Christ is represented in this table, in this meal. I know it shouldn't, but God blows me away when I see how he connects all that stuff like that, right? I mean, even down to this 3-in-1 bread pouch, right? And the middle piece being, it's amazing to me. Thank you so very much for coming and sharing. We are going to take up a special love offering for Jews for Jesus. So our ushers are going to come. We're going to pray in just a second here. If you want to make out a check, you can make it out to Sanctuary. We will send them one check at the end of everything. So you can just make it out to Sanctuary. If you need an offering envelope, the ushers do have some envelopes available that they're glad to give you. But we want to send them away with a beautiful offering for coming and sharing with us this morning. They will both be out in the foyer. The table's right outside the door here. They would certainly be glad to take a few minutes to talk with you and share more with you. Of course, get you signed up for the newsletter so you can stay in touch, at least with Jews for Jesus and everything that's going on. Lord, just thank you so much again for this morning and the power that is in this presentation, the power that is in your word, the power that is in this meal shared together, Father. I just praise you and thank you for it, Lord. I ask, Father God, that you would just, again, bless these tithes and offerings, or Lord, use them to support this ministry and everything that is being done. Lord, be with Ruth and Nehemiah. Lord God, encourage them, strengthen them, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Father God, for your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name.